Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, March 15th. I don't know why I thought it was Friday.
It feels like a Friday.
Does it feel like a Friday?
Kinda.
I know, this week has gone by so fast, I can't believe it.
Thank God I had the shittiest week ever. It has been the shittiest
It has been
week.
For you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
It'll improve. It'll improve.
I guess.
You know, it can't get much worse, can it?
Please don't say that. Please don't
Okay, it'll get better. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I guess when you want the universe to manifest it, you've got to say it in positive terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll say that it'll improve. It'll get better soon.
Yeah. It will when I get to Florida. I know. I was in the shittiest mood all day. I canceled all my appointments. I had a
really,
ton of things
that
to
bad,
do.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. It sucked. There's just one thing after another. And I'm like, oh my God. And it was just a nightmare mess. And it wasn't until like at night my mother like calmed me down kind of or whatever. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it made me feel good, but still it's like, oh, it's okay, I have to wait. But she's awesome, I have to say, because like, there are times that we, you know, I don't talk to my mom for a while, and well, I talk to her every day, but I'm saying there are times that like, I don't always tell her everything, and and she can be very annoying and very like, I don't know, set in her ways. But she was going to surprise me when I got to Florida with this idea, and she finally just told me yesterday because I was all upset. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's like
really?
My dream come true. Yeah, because I've always wanted to own, I think I told him if I told you, but I've always wanted to own my own shake shop, like an alternative healing store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So alternative healing store with energy shakes and shakes that can help people like change their energy. And what I mean is not energy as in hyper. I mean energy as in like your aura, your being. Like if you're sick or if you you can't sleep or whatever the case, like you have like, you know, an alternative herbal shake for it. Instead of taking a bunch of vitamins or pills or oils, we can make it all into a shake. And so that's kind of like what we were doing, my brother and I, and we've been, you know, they're on the East Coast, I'm here. So we've been kind of doing a lot on email, my brother and I. Mm. And my sister's in school for alternative medicine to be a doctor. She's going to graduate school. You know that.
Yeah.
She's going to be in graduate school.
No, I didn't know that, but that's okay.
Oh, I thought. Oh,
yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, yeah. So she's coming out here for graduate school. And she's got a couple years left. But I don't know. She has this awesome idea. And, you know, I've been saying it forever, and it's like I was blown off, and finally I didn't realize she's been looking at locations, and she's been talking to another doctor, and like all this stuff has been going on, and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, it's actually like might happen. So, yeah, there's a lot of plans in place, and I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited.
So you would open it out here or in Florida?
I think we would do both.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay.
There we would probably, we would start there first.
Uh-huh.
And I would do what I can to help and like fly back and forth or something if need be. But I think everyone can handle it. This doctor would take over a lot of it who she's talking to.
Well, right really?
Now. Yeah, yeah. Until, my sister gets out of school, which is in 2 years.
Right.
So it's like a later plan.
So you need like a doctor related to this thing or?
You kind of do. I mean, I know a lot about healing shakes and what to help and whatnot. And that's the thing. Like I never get sick. Mm. I never get sick. I'll get allergies and stuff, but I'll never like, you know, I'm for whatever reason, I'm pretty good at like stopping all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I had a sneezing attack again yesterday.
Did
I was like,
you really?
Oh my God.
Whoa.
And I started thinking, is it psychological? I don't know.
maybe when you get upset. You
maybe. I wonder if there's a correlation
sneeze.
Or something. I don't know. But yeah, so I forgot what I was saying, but Oh yeah, so you know, I don't know a lot about it, but this lady knows more, and I've gone to her with curing my Lyme disease. She works with cancer patients as well out of Johns Hopkins, and she's great. She's amazing, and she cured herself. She used to be a pharmacist. She cured herself from cancer. So like when she was in pharmaceuticals for years and years, she realized medicines actually destroy you even more,
right.
Especially when you have cancer and you're taking, you know, huge horse pills of whatever. It's actually hurting other parts of your body. It's tearing down, and you're more susceptible. You know what I mean? And the radiation and all that.
Yeah.
So she found other ways, and she's Indian. So she found, she went back to her roots and was like, I'm going to try this. Cured herself from cancer, which is, you know, so hard to do, obviously. And went back to school and went to holistic meds and studied herbs, Ayurveda and all kinds of stuff. And she's been in practice for a while in Maryland now. She works with Johns Hopkins patients, cancer. She's also going back for Lyme right now. She's specializing in Lyme patients. And she's doing some other things too. I forget other ailments and diseases.
But it's not traditional medicine, right?
No, it's okay. Not. But she's, I mean, I can't even believe I'm fine. You know, I'm not going to the hospital. I was in the hospital in and out, like all the time.
Really?
You know, and I did it to myself sometimes because I would drink too much and like whatever. And because my kidneys are shit, you know, right now because of Lyme.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, she really helped me with that. And obviously, you know, I've got a million other things. Like I need help with stress right now. But she's really good at what she does. And she's helped a lot of people get over Lyme naturally. And yeah, it's a lot. You are taking like 20 vitamins a day. But it's not like you can't just go to Whole Foods and buy those vitamins. These vitamins are, because that's not enough. Like these are like really, really high potency vitamins, pure vitamin E, like pure all natural and stuff.
Right.
And they have those in Whole Foods, but not a strong enough portion. They're like prescribable vitamins and stuff. So it is vitamin E and it is those things. But she's got them that she from like, they're like medical herbs. They're called medical herbs.
Oh.
So that's what she does. And it's pretty cool. But
wow, it is amazing that stuff works.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I've seen it work for a lot of people. It's not just me, but I mean, I am a basket case. So if you can help me, or I was, you can help me, then you can help most people, you know? And I've seen her help a lot of people, and especially cancer is like I was saying, is a big thing in Maryland. It's, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the water. I don't know if it's because we eat so much crab and seafood, or that's something. There's some kind of correlation, I think, there, too, because there's so many people in Maryland. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's like one in three people have it. Breast cancer in Maryland. Yeah.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah.
It is insane.
So I don't know what
one
that.
One in three has breast cancer?
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Wow.
So out of women. One in three women, obviously. But it's weird. So I guess, like, I don't know if it's, I think it's the seafood or it's the water you drink
or
something.
What makes you think it's the seafood?
I don't know. Think about it. I mean, we eat so much. Like, we're grown. I don't want to say that to any of the, I'm probably going to get hate mail off from that. But, I mean, we grow up on crab. We grow up on so much crab and fish. We eat crabs all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in Maryland.
In Maryland.
Right.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm being crazy, but what else would it be? Why is it in that area? What does everyone in Maryland do that not everyone else does in, you know, the surrounding areas? Eat a ton of crab? And maybe it's not the crab. Maybe it's stuff from the bay. The bay is, you know, there was that oil spill years back and, you know, things happen and whatever. But it could be a ton of things. But I don't know. I just think, why is it only in Maryland? It's got to be something. Is it the air we're breathing?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I guess we should figure out how women get breast cancer in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it's just a weird gene. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? Whatever. But, yeah.
I know. I don't know. I used to think, I still do in a way, that I think if you don't breastfeed your baby, don't you think that could, like, cause that? Because it'd be like, you know, there's like a stoppage there. You know, your body produces the milk, but you're not letting it out.
It could be.
But I think it happens to women that breastfeed as well. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, and that's another thing that I will say that people don't realize. The breast milk that you have, for example, like I was all concerned with a bunch of things that were going on with me, and like colostrum is like a very pure powder that you could take. I buy it on the internet from like certain companies or from this lady. Colostrum is basically like something that's found in breast milk, and that's basically the main ingredient in breast milk. Besides, like, it's what makes it's what helps the child be protected from like disease
like
and bacteria.
System, right.
It really helps your immune system, and it also for whatever reason helps like hormonal levels and whatever. So I found that, and I started taking that on top of everything else that I was doing, and it helped balance. I ran out, which is maybe why I'm a freaking nutcase right now. I don't know, but yeah, but it does really help. And people that I know that are on the holistic side, trying to cure from cancer and those type of things. Because cancer, what they are, cancers are deoxygenated cells. Mm. They're cells that don't get enough oxygen.
I see.
So, which I don't know if you realize it or not. So like, it's like,
no, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Before. If you go tanning, if you're dehydrated, if you like, you know, you smoke, if, you know, all these things are like why they say, coffee, caffeine is really bad because and also cancer feeds off sugar. So,
really?
So you cut out.
So I'm eating all the wrong fucking things, man.
But if you were to cut out like gluten, which is like a lot of yeast and sugar, so, like candida, basically, if you get that a lot, you're prone. You can also be prone to cancers.
Right.
Yeah, then that's why it's so important. That's why I changed my complete whole diet.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I would imagine, you know, I think everything you put in affects your body.
It does. You are what you eat.
Right.
You completely are what you eat. But anyway, so this is kind of what I want to do in my own way. And yes, I know a lot about what to cure and what to help and things like that. But I am not a doctor. And I didn't work. She worked on both sides of the spectrum. She's been a pharmacist and, you know, she's a medical or what do you call it? An herbalist. Kind of like a witch doctor in a way, you know, and is going to teach us a bunch. And I've wanted to intern for her or work and trying to figure it out, but I can't just go to Maryland and do that. So, yeah, it would just be cool to have her prescribe and me just watch the charts and look over and be like, oh, that's what you did. Okay, cool. You know, kind of thing. So
that's
anyway.
Cool. Well, that's a great idea.
You know?
I think you'll do well, especially in L.A. People are so, you know, health conscious and shit.
I think it'd be really cool and fun and cool to have my own thing, you know, on the side.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Finally.
There's nothing like having your own business.
No.
You know? Nobody can tell you what the hell to do and, you know. You still have to answer to the customers, but that's a different thing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think I also feel like with prescriptions and with everything, like, you're not healing the person. They're just going to get, like, you can get colds and everything all over again. But I feel like with our whole thing, like if you heal from the inside out and we help you, like the way you eat, the way change your diet, change if you really want to heal yourself, you know, I'd rather like heal people and never see them again. I don't want them to keep coming back for the same thing. Because I want them to be, because it'll be,
oh,
you
I
should
see.
Be healed.
You want it to work for them.
I want it to work and you're healed and be done with. I'm like, I don't need, I feel like that kind of energy is like what I want. Like, I don't want it to be like, oh, I'm only going to give you a little taste of this so you can come back and get more like a doctor, I feel like. I hate to say that, but I feel like and half the time they don't know how to freaking cure you. They don't know what the hell is going on because they don't. They only look at what they're taught in books or what they're taught by prescription drug people.
Yeah, and a lot of bullshit. You know, when you go to the doctors, there's a lot of bullshit going on.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us your guest is going to call us in a couple of minutes. So why don't you tell us about
guest. Sean Webb that's going to be calling in, and he's an author. He lives in Michigan, and he actually called in a couple of months ago. I want to say in January or something.
He called into the show.
He called in the show, and he asked about you know, he told me he said he was an author. If you remember, we had so many calls. I think that he said he was an author, and he was wondering how to get PR and tell people about his books and get it out there. And he wound up writing me after the show, and we're Facebook friends now. And I said, send me the books. And he did, and they're pretty cool. And I like the storyline's very interesting, and it's touchy, but it's interesting. And so we're going to have him on the show to talk about it.
Here he is.
All right.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Is it Sam?
Yes, it's Sam. Is this Sean?
Hi, Sean.
Sean, how you guys doing?
Good. I was just letting everyone know about you and how we originally met you, kind of thing. And we're Facebook friends, and I have your books and all that. So, hey.
Welcome to the show, Sean.
That's really super cool. I can't believe that a couple of stars out in Los Angeles have my books and are actually looking through them. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, depends how you define stars, you know. But,
Aw,
but we're on the way there.
He can't take a compliment. Take a compliment.
Yeah, okay, I'll take it. Where are you calling us from, Sean?
I'm sorry, Sam?
Where in the country are you? Where are you calling us from?
Michigan, right?
Right near Detroit. I'm about 30 miles southwest of the city.
Oh, in Michigan. How's the weather up there today? Is it nice?
Yeah. Yep, it's nice today too. We've got a good 75 degrees going on. We kind of like Los Angeles weather here.
Oh, really?
Is it really?
Wow. Yeah, they're saying
it feels like summer. It's nice for mid March.
Yeah, they're saying that, you know, I mean, the temperature's really gone up in the entire world, and we've had a very dry winter in the entire country, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm upset because I'm racing in that race this weekend. It's supposed to be pouring down rain.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, that's no good.
I know.
They won't let you get on the track, Bridgetta.
No, they're still letting us do it. It's the LA Marathon. They don't cancel it.
Sports,
so.
You got to do it anyway.
Oh, you're running anyways.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, very good, very good.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. Now, Sean.
So have you read the books, Bridgetta?
I started and I haven't finished because this one book is really cool, The Blackjacks. It's huge, though. It's so many pages.
Do you like that book?
I do like it. I picked up this one first because it just, I don't know, I just seem like a cool story. You know what it is? I read a lot of,
We have a terrible connection here.
I know.
Are you on a cell phone, Sean?
Yes, I am on my cell phone. Is it? Can you hear me okay?
Not really. I mean, we hear ourselves back, but do you want to try and call back in again? Maybe it'll be better.
Yeah.
Let me try something here.
Okay.
Is that better?
I don't know. Well, we'll see. No, I'm still hearing us.
Yeah, we're hearing us talk.
Yeah, something like that. So,
I'm sorry, you guys. We kind of live on the cell phones. So.
Yeah, I know. No, it's okay. Why don't you...
It's fine.
Now it's okay.
Yeah, now it's good.
Yeah. So now with the...
Very good.
The Blackjacks, is that your first book?
That is my first fictional novel.
Uh-huh.
I wrote that back I finished it in April of 2011. Mm-hmm. It was funny because the first book I wrote was A Motion for Innocence, which is based on a true story.
Right.
And I wanted to go fictional. I did my true story thing. I did my, thing that deals with politics and whatnot. And I decided to go for something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Stephen King and Dean Koontz and John Saul and all these authors.
Right.
And as I was reading them, I thought to myself, you know, I think I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
At least I think I can come close.
Right.
So I decided to give it a shot, and Bridgetta's enjoying it, and that's it for me. I mean, gosh, I feel like I'm a huge success.
Yeah.
Aww.
There you go. How long does it take you to write a book usually?
Well, I started Blackjacks 18 months prior, so it took me about 18 months.
Wow.
From the beginning research, looking into things, deciding what characters I was going to use, which direction I was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then put it all together. And my style is more of a, I like to like draw a big pinwheel on paper and put all my plot, focus on there.
Oh,
and then
cool
meet
idea.
In the middle. If I can meet everybody in the middle and make it interesting enough for the reader, mm-hmm. then I feel like I've done my job.
Right.
Yeah.
As a writer.
Yeah.
So.
Now, you had never written a book before. You said you're going to give it a shot. And so
mm-hmm.
how did you learn about the writing craft and so forth? Did you have to learn about it, or was it pretty much natural for you?
Well, you know what? I took some courses in college
mm-hmm.
To try and get a little idea of the English language. And because the English is, they say it's one of the most difficult languages in the world to learn.
Yeah.
And even though we know it, there's still a lot more to know.
Right.
So I got all that kind of stuff under my belt. And then I decided, like I said, as I was reading other novels and as I was looking through books and trying to get an idea, I thought that I could do it. I thought that I had the ability to write this. I can write it down. If you think it, write it down.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Now, when you write, do you know how it's going to turn out, or is it pretty much like you let the story reveal itself? Because
I never know how it's going to turn out, Sam.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I never know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's interesting because, like, I was starting to write a book myself recently, and I went through this period of I was writing every day. It came so easy, and I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm already on, like, this chapter. Oh, my gosh. And then I made the mistake of I let everyone read it, and they were like, oh, this is great. This is great. And one person said they didn't like it, and out of one person, out of a bunch.
Right. Yeah.
And from then, ever since then, I stopped writing.
It discouraged you,
and
huh?
It did, and wow. It's stupid because it's my true story, things yeah. that actually really happen. I'm not making it up, and I think it's funny, and it's me, and it's whatever. But ever since then, I couldn't – I don't know what it is. How do you have, like, a rule where you, like, no one reads it until the end? Or if you have something like that, how do you handle that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Nobody reads it until I'm finished with the first draft.
Okay.
And that includes family, friends, and everybody, because they're going to, oh, Sean, why did you use these words? Sean, why did you say the F word? Sean, why do you have sex scenes? These sex
right.
scenes, I mean, are you thinking of these things? Well, you know, it's better to not share that information, because then you can put the whole thing down. And, you know, obviously I have an editor named Lynn Gillard. I have an artist, a wonderful artist, as you can see from Blackjack,
yeah.
named Lori Ann Peterson. She lives in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. Very nice girl.
I really like her art. I was looking at some of the other art that you had on your site, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I just finished my next Blackjack book, which I'll talk with you about in a second. But, no, Bridgetta, I don't let people look at it. I don't want them to see it. I'll read it myself over and over. Mm-hmm. Then I let my editors and my team have a hold of it. And they can do what they want. They can tell me what they want. They can argue with me, mm-hmm. which they do a lot. So,
okay.
You know, Sean, this is all wrong. Scratch it and let's go on this angle or let's go on that angle. So,
right.
But no, I wish you'd keep writing, Bridgetta. I'd love to read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to go back and do it. You know, you can't let people discourage you. But if anything, you use it as a learning experience. You know,
right.
ask them, what is it you don't like about it?
Yeah.
Know? But you got to remember that, and I think you'll agree, Sean, that writing is a form of art. You know, you don't do it so people will like it. You do what you feel, you know, and hopefully
yeah.
people will be interested. Is that true, Sean?
Yeah, I think it is. It's my form of art. It's my form of expression. I get a lot of relief from it.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of satisfaction from it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that are going on in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think little pieces of that, even in a fiction book, I think little pieces of that show up.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say...
No, go right ahead, Bridgetta.
Your book, Emotion for Innocence, I mean, that is a crazy, insane story. And if you could
yes.
share with everyone what that's about and why did you think this was important to write about? I mean, I think it's important, but go ahead.
Okay. The situation is this. Back in 2005, there was a situation where I was accused by a 15-year-old girl
wow.
of inappropriate contact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I was what I would call railroaded through a system geared against people who are blamed for these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go on and on. This story could take hours, but I'll try and shorten it up as well as I can. The point of the story is for me to finally get my version out.
Right.
I was never allowed to speak. I was never allowed to express myself. I was never allowed any kind of a presence in the courtroom,
wow.
Besides maybe 10 minutes on a stand to try and convince some people that, you know, these accusations were not true.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of people in this world that are true sex offenders. There are a lot of people that are true pedophiles, but there are a lot of people also on the other side of the ball that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say that it's a higher percentage than people give it credit for. I can't give you a number off the top of my head, but in my estimation, anywhere from 10% to 20% in that area are falsely accused.
Wow. Yeah.
You
by
know,
by kids too, right?
Yeah. You know what? It happened to an ex of mine recently. He just went to
really?
The whole prison system.
I know. It's a scary thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can accuse you, and at least in the public mind, you're accused already and convicted.
Wow.
Exactly. And, you know, 750,000 people are on the sex offender registry in the United States today.
Wow.
That's up from... 200,000 5 years ago to 400,000 3 years ago.
Oh.
I mean, it just keeps growing.
That's crazy.
And growing.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
You know, I mean, how long before we all know somebody
right.
who's there?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you told this story in A Motion for Innocence and Justice for All, and it sounds intriguing to me. I'm definitely going to check it out and see.
Yeah, Sam, you would like that, I think, right?
Yeah. So
And I wrote it all in first person, Sam, so mm-hmm. I'm speaking from experience.
Wow. Right.
Yeah. And I'm not going to ask you how this whole thing started and how you got involved with it, because I don't want to give away the book and stuff. I think that would be part of it, part of the enjoyment.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I think it's good now where you are. Obviously, you know, you're releasing and you know what? And out of every tragedy comes something good. And I have to say, even though you went through hell and back, you know what? You discovered you're an author, you're a writer, and you discovered your craft, and this is your expression, and now you've got two other books on top of that one. This is great.
Exactly.
This is where you should be. So it sucks to have to realize that, yeah. But you know.
And it's a really nice thing, Bridgetta. It's I'm glad that I found it. I'm glad that I can release some of the stress and emotion through this work. So right. it's a wonderful thing. And like I said before, I hope you don't give up the writing. I hope you stick with it, because it's important. You know, you have a very interesting story yourself with everything that you do. You're constantly on the move. You're on TV. You're on cable shows. You're everywhere, Bridgetta. And yeah. I think people would really be interested
in
that.
And then she wonders why her life is so complicated, you know?
Well, life is complicated, isn't it?
I did. I cried about it all day yesterday. I did.
So briefly, what's Blackjacks about? That's your novel, right? That's a fiction.
Yeah, that's my first fictional novel. Blackjacks is about a girl named Amy Frazier. She's kind of my heroine. Mm-hmm. Kind of a tough little cookie. She stands probably 5'4" and weighs 125, but she can pack a wallop, boy. She doesn't take any crap from anybody.
Sounds like me.
And, yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, she's an independent woman. She's tough, as I said. She's a lawyer in this book. She has to defend a gentleman who is accused of a murder that he may or may not have committed. Mm. But I put a lot of subplots around it. I carried about 12 characters in this book, and wow. I wanted there to be a huge finish mm-hmm. at the end. So I think I was successful on that. My next book, Blackjacks Volume 2, it's called A Killer for the Queen. And what I've done is I've taken the common Alice in Wonderland fairy tale by Lewis Carroll, mm-hmm. and I decided to mix it in with Amy, and mix it in with murder, and mix it in with all these things happening. And I came up with some really crazy stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
I would love to read that. And you know what? I can't wait to finish this, and then I would love to read that one, too. It sounds awesome. I think it'd be cool. You know what, though? I want to say The Emotion for Innocence sounds like it would be a really good movie. I'm just saying.
You know, a lot of people have said that. As a matter of fact, there was a gentleman here in Michigan that knows Jeff Daniels, okay. who owns, obviously, you guys know he owns the Purple Rose Theater here in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he likes the real-life drama.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to talk to him. I don't know that it'll go anywhere. But, hey, you know, if I can get little leads out here and there and let people know about this stuff,
right.
You just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you gotta keep trying, you know. And I mean, there's such a saturation of everything out there, you know, whether it's books, music, movies, all that stuff. You have to stand out, you know. And but I think you definitely have something to offer here, and it's just a matter of, you know, finding the right people and, you know, somebody finding the book and mm-hmm. picking it up, you know?
Yeah.
So
Exactly. And you know, being on a radio show that you guys, and I want to thank you very, very much for bringing me on.
Aww.
But a radio show like this, you know, that's a really wonderful thing. And it helps to, you know, spread that word around. People maybe will take a look at it mm-hmm. and see what's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
Where can everyone find your books? So that way,
they can find them on Amazon.com. Just look under just type in Sean Webb, right. Or they can go to my website, which is www.sean-webb.com. web, webb.com.
But okay. Your name is spelled Shaun, S-H-A-U-N, right. For everyone out there listening.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay. That's awesome.
Spelled with a U.
Yeah. And I'll put the link on my site, too. That way.
Yeah, we'll put it on our website as well so people can check it out. Shaun, thank you so much for your time. You've been very entertaining. And
yeah.
I think it's now I really want to read the books.
I know.
You know?
Well, I'm glad you guys do, and I'm glad you guys had me. And I want to thank you for your hospitality and being so wonderful. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And then when I'm done, I'll put a little note so you can post it under your reviews, too. That'll
yeah.
be fun.
A little testimonial, huh?
Yeah, because he's got a whole page with the reviews on the book, so I'll do that.
Awesome.
Sure, I appreciate that, Brigetta. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, Shaun. Cool. All the best to you, and take care.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, so bye-bye.
So that's cool, you know? Yeah. And I think that's a crazy, amazing story.
I mean, you know, it worries me sometimes. I mean, it scares me, you know, because you never know where it's going to come from, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody could accuse you. You never even met them.
You know, well, you know what's true. And you know what's interesting is I was just dealing with this with a mutual friend of ours, someone who works for her, who used to work for her, got fired the other day, this is a crazy story. She, I guess she's supposed to get married to somebody and from overseas or whatever. And she got a little too drunk at another person that works for her at a party and hooked up with a guy at the party and then was so embarrassed that she hooked up with him that she threatened rape.
Really?
And she threatened the whole family for the past 2 weeks, threatened that he raped her and this and that. And she was a virgin. She wasn't a virgin, but she said that. And there's a lot of crazy things that happen, and it's slowly diminishing, or it's slowly we caught her in some other lies, and so it's, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just,
I feel
like,
for the guy,
for
man.
The past couple of weeks, like, that's what they've been going through, and I heard this story, and it's kind of like, I know who they are, and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? That's insane. It's not right. It's not fair, you know? And if you're in... I know her, and I know her, too, so it's like, I know that's bullshit, but, and then it just happened to, like I said, an ex of mine, and it was because, his ex-wife, was crazy, and she just was pissed off and was mad at him and just made up a bunch of shit, and
really?
He got in trouble for it.
Wow.
And it's now, she says, I'm sorry, I admit that I lied and all that, but it's, like, too late now.
Yeah,
you know?
It
it's
is.
Like, what
it
are you
is.
Gonna do, you know? And it's such crap. It's like... People get mad and then they get vindictive and then it ruins someone else's life. It really does.
Yeah, and it does. And I mean, this guy that you're describing here was just an innocent bystander.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he meets this chick, he goes to bed with her, whatever, and then she accuses him of this stuff, you know? And he's probably like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, I mean, and it does take two to tango, but then again, and I've also been in a situation when I was younger where I was put in a weird situation before and I was like, this is weird. Like, and I was actually some guy that I like was talking to, or actually, I'm sorry, we dated and then I broke up and then I was drunk at a party, really, 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 really drunk. And it was actually kind of a fight in a way. So it was weird because I was like, what just happened? Did I? Okay. I was drunk. We used to date. Like, that's whatever. But it was like really a weird situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to go into it because it's a whole other, I just realized that. But and it's just like, so in that sense, if you're a dumb girl, I don't know. Never mind. I'm gonna get myself in trouble.
Okay, yeah. But,
shut up.
But that's the thing, you know. I mean, it's like you never know what's gonna happen, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's scary, you know. I remember when my daughter was a little younger, you know, I'd have to she'd ask me like to take a friend home or something, you know, give her a ride. And I was thinking, God, you know, I mean, this is like such a vulnerable situation.
Right.
Because all she has to do is like. For
you
whatever fucking
me.
Reason,
you
know, and then it's your word against hers, and even if you're right, just having to go through that shit.
You know, it's funny because I remember being a kid, and I babysat a lot, all over the place, and I remember if, like, one of the fathers would walk me home, he was really hot, and like, I would just be like, oh my God, he's so hot, blah, blah, blah. But then I started thinking about it, like, this would be, I remember being in the car one time, and it was a little, like, weird.
Yeah.
Not that anything was done or said, but it was like, you know what I mean? So I can only imagine what it would be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you as an older guy, like, yeah.
Anyway. How old were you?
I've babysat all the way. I've always babysat, but
yeah.
I started babysitting on the neighborhood when I was 9. But I mean, this was probably when I was like 14 or 15.
Really? And you still like were turned on by the father?
He was hot. He was really hot.
Yeah, but you were 14.
I was 14. I was horny. It's when you, you know, you got boobs. What do you do with them? I don't know. But yeah, I remember that.
That's funny. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely not a funny thing to get accused. And,
no,
and stuff,
but I can see. Yeah, I mean, it's fucked up. And I think too was like, if I don't know, that's a whole crazy situation. I can't wait to read the book. But I think too, like, I know he said it was involved in the church and everything. And I think once the church gets involved and people are staring at you, then it's like the family can't back down.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, now we got all, you know, they feel embarrassed or whatever. And I don't know. I always also will have to say crazy churchgoers, especially. I don't need so much hate mail.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
Especially in the South.
I do.
Anyway, yeah. I'm going to just shut up while I'm ahead.
Tomorrow we're going to have a great guest.
Who?
He calls himself the Craigslist Conqueror. He was on Howard Stern earlier this week. And he...
He gets laid with
Craigslist, you know, like answering ads, putting ads and
shit
like that.
Oh, I have a friend that does that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to hear all about this because from what I'm hearing from people, it's all spam and shit. You know, you don't really get to do anything, but he begs to differ.
Yeah, it does happen.
Yeah, because imagine, I mean, if a chick advertises there, she probably gets like millions of fucking replies, you know? How
does
she possibly get to yours?
Right.
You know, so.
I have a guy friend that posts on Craigslist, you know, and he's gay, but he likes to hook up with straight men, which is just, I mean, that's how everyone is when they're gay.
I guess, all my
gay friends are like that, male and female.
Really?
Yeah, they like, it's a conqueror. Like, I gotta turn them or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, once they do, they're like, oh, I'm over it. It's kind of funny. But he does post on there and for hookups.
Uh-huh.
And people respond like, I mean, I've seen them come and go, and I've seen,
really?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And he just, and not just for sex. I mean, it's a lot of, like, he just wants to go down on them and just see. And it's a lot of guys are confused too. Like, they're not sure if they are or they're not, or they just want to try the experiment.
Right.
So,
so you don't think going down is sex? Going down on someone is sex? You only think sex is intercourse?
Yeah, you know what? I thought about this recently.
I mean, think about this.
You can watch
a whole fucking porno and it's only about eating her out. That's sex.
I guess because, you know, the reason I started thinking about this recently is I'm like, okay, so when lesbians have sex, lesbian sex is just eating each other out. And, you know, I mean, you do other things, but I'm just saying, like, it's nothing going inside anyone else.
Right.
So I don't really look at that as sex. And I started thinking about this the other day. I was having a conversation with someone and I was like, if that's sex, that's just going, you know. And then they were like, well, yes, it is. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
But I never thought about that until someone
But
said
you're
that.
Not the only one. That's why I was asking. A lot of people don't refer, like Bill Clinton, you know, it wasn't sex, you know.
Because in a way, it's not.
But it is. You know, I think when you play with your genitals, it's with somebody else's genitals.
That's sex?
It's sex.
So if we're just fingering each other, that's sex?
Yeah.
Really?
It is.
I don't
look at it as
no.
sex, huh?
I think it's sexual interactions.
Right.
Sexual interactions, but it's not sex. You know?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they call it like...
Foreplay.
Foreplay.
Right.
But it's part of sex.
But it's foreplay.
Yeah, so why do they call it oral sex?
It's oral
sex.
Okay, so it's oral
sex.
So then,
but it's sex.
So then I will be more specific. Oral sex. So he gives oral sex to these guys off Craigslist.
Guys, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because
he's gay. I mean,
right.
He's
but
gay.
A lot of guys that respond to it are people that aren't necessarily gay.
Really?
They're people that are wondering, you know, just trying the experience.
Like bi-curious type of a thing?
Yeah. Maybe they've never tried it. They just want to see.
Right.
Or... they are interested in, like, they're not completely, they're just bi or whatever.
Yeah.
And, he does that. It's interesting. You should hear the stories. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
But so, I can't wait for this guy tomorrow. This is going to be awesome.
But you see, that's the thing. I think for gay guys, it's a lot easier to hook up, you know, because they're men. They're still men, you know. And
they
men
hook
want
up
sex.
All the time.
Yeah, men want anonymous sex all the time.
My gay friends are whores.
And
they are.
Yeah, I mean, because they can, you know, that's the thing. I mean, if straight men could get sex as easily, they would too.
Right.
you know, it's just.
Well, I mean, you also have things like Grindr, which are, I think, is interesting. Do you know what Grindr is?
No.
Grindr is a website, and there's another one too that's out there now. I forget what it's called, but Grindr is a website that's really big, and pun intended. And it's where gay males can go on, they post their photos, and okay, this is actually really cool. So you can have an app like on your phone. I've done this before. My friend, we played a joke on one of my friends that were visiting, and my girlfriend and I signed up on Grindr, and we pretended we were a guy. We put a fake photo up there, and we just wanted to like mess with him, because what it does is it says you have a picture, and it says this person is in the room with you. Like, so you could be in a cafe, and if you're on Grindr, you're looking around, they're like 50 feet away. Well, obviously it's someone in the cafe, because the feet, the footage
the
is
distance.
Like not yeah the footage. The distance, you know what I mean? Shut up. Blonde moment. It's not exactly accurate.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's like 100 feet or whatever, it's really in the cafe or that you're at, and you're looking around like, who is it? Who is it?
Yeah.
Who's in there? And then you send each other, you can click on, you can send each other sexual photos, but it can also be like a picture of a cock or something.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God, who is this? Who do you think this cock is in this room? And you're looking around like, oh my God, oh my God. And it's so many, like, it's so many sex photos on there. It's crazy.
Really?
And it's all about hooking up.
Yeah.
It's all about hooking up. So my friend, when he was visiting from North Carolina, and he was staying with me, and he's like, oh my God, I'm on Grindr, and there's like, it's other gay men that are on it, and like where they are. And he's like, there's three people across the street right here. There's four here and one here. I'm going to talk to them. And I'm like, if you are whoring out of my house, I'm going to kill you. Like, but it's funny because they have those sites for gay men, but they don't have them. I think they just started one for women, like gay women. It's not as popular though. But they don't have those for like hookup sites for like, you know, normal, like straight.
Straight.
Like a Grindr straight. Not that you just want to go, not that girls just want to go and fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's not normal. With guys,
it's
like it's all about sex. They're just going to hook up, they're going to leave. They're going to hook up and leave. And they're going to laugh about it. And they're going to keep sending each other penis photos. And I mean, it's hilarious. But almost every gay person that gay friend that I have is on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
And then I made a fake profile just to see what it was like, because it was funny. And we would mess with people. And then when they got really ridiculous, we just were like, okay, we're stopping. This has gone too far. We did it to mess with one of our friends.
Yeah.
But
sounds funny.
Yeah. But anyway, so is this guy a local LA person or
no? He's not coming in. He's gonna call. I don't know where he's located.
What he's in,
but, I heard him on Howard Stern. I got in touch with him.
Good.
You know, he's got like an e-book or something. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's going to tell us all about it, and that should be pretty interesting.
It should be interesting.
Yeah.
And also, like, to think, like, you know, I have to say my girlfriend did this a couple years ago, and this I thought was hot. And I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you know how we all have our own fantasies, right?
Yes.
And this was probably, like, five years ago, maybe 6 years ago. She decided she had this fantasy in her head, and she went on Craigslist and wrote the fantasy, and she's like, I want a guy, and she described him to the T of what she wants, to come into my place, and we can talk a couple times on through, you know, back and forth email. I don't want to know each other's names, but then I'm going to leave my door open, and I want you to just come in, and I want crazy sex.
Right.
Crazy
wow.
sex. And don't talk.
I've heard of that fantasy before, though.
I've done that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think women like that.
We do, but mine was different. So, yeah, but my friend fucked it up. Friend. Oh, I was so mad. Anyway, so she did that, but she wound up going on a bunch of dates with him after.
Really?
And they were seeing each other for a little bit, but all because of this fantasy thing that she built up. And they wouldn't talk. They would just write about it later. It was really sexy.
Right.
So they would just crow and have crazy sex, and then they would come back and through email talk about what they felt and how it was and what they should do next. And it was all through email, the talking. It
really?
Was really fucking sexy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do that. So with a friend of mine who I've never hooked up with before, I was like, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm going to leave my door unlocked, blah, 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 blah. And like, he came in. But he texted me on the way and was like, I'm coming over. And I'm like, you just texted me. You just ruined it right there, you idiot.
So you wanted to be sort of a surprise?
Yeah, I wanted to just be, yeah.
But you knew he was coming.
Right. But then he came in the house and talked. And I was like, oh my God, you are not playing my game. Now I'm completely turned, get out. And he was like, what? I go, get out. And I made him leave. God. I made him leave. He's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, you're not
leave
playing.
With his blue balls.
Yeah, but you're not playing my game.
Yeah.
I want my game played my way. Get out. Get out. Yeah, so it was.
Oh, God.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So but, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what. Yeah, I mean, when I was listening to him, he said that women do have fantasies, and if
yeah.
you can sort of like connect into that, you know, then you could pick her up. You know, who knows?
You told me one of your fantasies before. You told me about that. I don't know. Like I think I would play out. I would role play. I've done some things like that with some people I've dated before.
Yeah.
You know, and I have so many crazy retarded costumes just from Halloween and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, I'll play this, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Yeah. I've never done role playing.
No?
I wonder what it's like, you know.
It's funny.
Is it?
I just crack up laughing and I'm like,
yeah.
whatever, pull your pants up.
I know. Like, it's like.
It's just, it's funny.
Wear like a nurse's uniform or
yeah.
something, you know, or a maid uniform.
Yeah. Kind of hilarious.
It is.
You
it
should
is,
do
you know?
That.
But I guess people will do anything to spice up their sex life.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? I mean, because I think, too, if you're with the same one for such a long time, you have to spice it up. You
yeah.
have to try new things. You
I know?
Know,
but role playing, I mean, it sounds like pretentious, you know? It's like a
it's
little
funny.
Kid.
Yeah, yeah, you're like a kid. Funny. I don't know. I am a child. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'd want to, yeah.
Yeah.
Spice it up.
No,
go to the sex
try
shop.
That, yeah.
I used to always go to like a sex shop with like whoever I'm dating.
Really?
If I'm with someone for a long time, like spice it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's try this. Let's try that. All right, cool. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Do you like bringing toys into the bed with a guy?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You don't mind the noises and everything that it makes?
No, because when you're in the moment, who gives a shit about the noise?
Really?
I'm probably louder than it, so whatever. You know?
I don't know. It's sort of like bringing a machine into bed. I don't know. I need to...
Really?
I mean, I like to watch women masturbate with that and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, but for me, it's... I don't know. It doesn't feel right, you know,
no?
to put a vibrator near my cock and stuff. You know?
Oh, my God. But guys
I'm
love
sure,
that.
I know.
Guys
I know, I can
love
imagine.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that with several exes,
yeah.
and they love it.
I'll have to experiment with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, a lot of men like fingers up their ass, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's a good thing, you know.
Have you ever tried anal beads?
No.
Why not?
I'm not trying anything near my ass. Are you kidding me?
Why anal beads? You
nothing's
just
coming
put them
near
up there
my ass.
And you pull them out when you're about to go.
That sounds good for a woman, not for me.
No, you do it. You both do it.
It sounds gay. I'm sorry.
No. It's so stimulating for a guy.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just saying, like...
Straight guys don't stick things up.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Okay, well, they shouldn't.
Well, okay, but I'm telling you, when it feels good,
yeah.
why not?
And you like it. I mean, you like that kind of stuff.
I just want to make whoever I'm with, like, feel amazing.
Right.
So if they're, like, yeah.
Yeah, but you can feel amazing without beads up your ass. You know?
No, it's, like, 10 times better.
Really?
Yeah. For a guy, that's what I've heard. They're
okay.
like, oh, my gosh.
I'll have to try.
I'm serious.
Not in this lifetime, I'm not.
Oh, my God,
no,
whatever.
Really. I mean,
but just, like, tantric sex. Have you ever, like, looked in the tantra?
No, what is that about?
It's really,
I've heard of it.
Yeah, no, that's, like, crazy intense. It's, like, there's a whole art to it. And I have, like, books on it I've read. And only one time have I ever, with this one person, because he was into it, it was amazing. It's kind of like breathing. So, like, when it's all about energy,
uh-huh.
so, and I'm telling you, it's really intense. So if you have, like, a crazy connection with somebody, you just feed off that energy. And it's, like, your breath is the same, so when one person breathes out, you're breathing it in and vice versa. But I can't explain you how intensely sexual that is.
Wow.
And there's a lot more to it, but it is such a intense, insane, like, and it's not about just getting the other person off. It's more about like the art of it and enjoying
right.
the feelings and everything. So it does last longer. And it's also, and you can actually come more times. Male guys
really?
Can I mean girls can too, but like
yeah
it's really awesome. It's what's his name at Sting. You can have sex
Sting,
for hours
yeah,
and hours
yeah, with his,
not
well,
that I want to have sex for 18 hours because
yeah.
I think I would be hurting by then, but I'm just saying like it actually is incredible. So if you ever I would look it up and try it out.
It's
something to spice up because if you're both into it, it takes a long time to like learn and practice. But if you guys keep doing it, eventually you're going to be like, holy my God. Yeah.
I don't have the patience for long.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time I had it with someone and it was one person I used to date. I had that connection with them and it was like, holy like
nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I know. I mean, some
but
people, you know,
are.
You meet people in your life where, you know, it's like there's a really sexual connection there, you
right.
know, and you do a lot of things that you wouldn't do with anybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, it stays in your mind. You know?
It's cool. Energetic. It's the way energy is. If you find someone, that's what I'm all about, you know yeah. that? So that's probably why I'm still single. I look for that connection
yeah.
on top of everything else that I'm
yeah, you might as
very
well.
Particular.
If you have to live with that for years, you might as well find a good connection.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Enough talking about bullshit.
I know.
All right. So everybody tune in tomorrow. And Brigitte, I have a good day. I hope
Thank
today
you.
Is a good day for you.
I think it'll be better.
Okay.
I really, I hope. So far.
All right. And thanks all for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitte, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitte is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.